Hey, sweet friends, welcome back to another episode of the Love Your Bod Pod. I'm your host, I'm Kara Corinne Cefelli. I'm a certified health coach, trauma-informed breathwork facilitator, and I help people heal their relationships with food, their bodies, and themselves. We have such a treat. I am so excited about today's podcast guest. It is with Natalie Sanchez Alvarez. She is somebody who is so special to me and a dear friend and a previous client. I'm really excited for you guys to get to hear her story, get to know her today, and hear firsthand what it's like to go through this process of struggling with food for so long, struggling with your body image for so long, really having so much of your life be devoted to the pursuit of weight loss, and what it's like to go through that healing journey and to put in the hard work and to have the courage to face the fear and the nervousness and the anxiety and to come out on the other side and have your life be transformed. She participated in Food Body Soul the Academy as well as Food Body Soul the Retreat, and she did also participate in my spiritual life coaching program called Soul on Fire. So Natalie shares her story with us from remembering weighing herself at only 8 years old. Gosh, that's so young, right? Like, it's just so young when us women, we start worrying about our bodies, and it's so unfair, and there is another way. We don't have to do it, but I digress. She shares her story of a 15-year-long struggle and cycle of dieting, restricting, obsessively over-exercising, losing weight, followed by binge eating, eating in secret, gaining all the weight back, and all the body shame, mental agony, and negative self-talk that comes along with that. To give you a little bit more of a background on Natalie, she is the president of Norson Media, a media and advertising company targeting Latinos that is based in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she lives. She was recently married. I had the honor and privilege of attending her absolutely beautiful wedding in North Carolina, but we do talk a lot about her wedding, and something that we worked on a lot together in Food Body Soul the Academy was how she had spent her whole life visioning herself being a much smaller version of herself on her wedding day and what that was like for her. She loves spending time with her family, her husband, and her incredibly freaking stinking adorable Australian Shepherd, Winston. He is such a cutie. If you want to connect with her and follow her online on Instagram at empath_Natalie, you can get to see the adorable little Winston as well. Like I mentioned, she participated in Food Body Soul the Academy and the Retreat, as well as Soul on Fire. She's passionate about mental health, self-care, and body positivity. Just a little bit of a heads up for today's conversation. We do get deep, personal, and really specific. So definitely want to put a trigger warning in. We do mention numbers and eating disorder behavior. So please keep that in mind as you listen. Use your discretion based on your own comfort level. Natalie shares how she spent most of her life believing that she had to achieve a smaller body to be happier. I know I felt that way for a really long time as well. And even though she had moments where she felt proud of herself when she lost weight and that like all of the torture and the restriction was worth it, that all went away when the weight came back, as it does for pretty much most of us. And eventually she found hope that she could heal, that there was another way to live free from all of the mental obsession and agony over what to order at lunch, skipping out on social events because she felt like she was too big or she didn't have anything to wear, and that there's just more to life than trying to lose weight. And as it turns out, and you're going to hear this in her story, I'm so excited for you to get to hear it. She's actually the happiest she's ever been. And she isn't a smaller version of herself. She is absolutely living, breathing proof that diet culture is a liar, such a liar. Not only do you deserve more than the thin dream, but that you don't have to be a thinner version of yourself in order to have an amazing life that you love. As a previous client, she does share about participating in my group program, Food Body Soul the Academy, how it helped change her life and helped her heal, and what it was like to be in a program with other women, and how that was in itself so nourishing and so healing. Being in a group is incredibly special, and you're going to hear that today in her story. If after listening to this, you're feeling inspired and you want to learn more about the Academy, please reach out to me. head to foodbodysoul.co or shoot me a DM on Instagram at Kara's Kitchen. I am now enrolling for the next round. We can set up a complimentary discovery call to see if it's a great fit. Spots are limited, so do not wait. If you're interested, reach out to me. Don't let it go by. Don't miss out on this opportunity. I can say with a lot of confidence, and Natalie told me I'm too humble, so I'm going to humbly brag right now. It will change your life. It will probably be one of the best things that you ever do for yourself. So if after hearing her story, if you can relate, if you feel hopeful after she shares and you want to learn more, reach out to me. Don't hesitate. Food, Body, Soul, the Academy can make 2022 lead to the happiest you've ever been in your life as well. Okay, without further ado, let's get in today's interview with the lovely, incredible Natalie. Share with the listeners your history as it relates to food and body image. So what was it like growing up? How old were you when it started? And kind of take us on that journey a little bit.
You know, looking back on it, it was pretty shocking to think about how young I was, like the first time I started thinking about that. And I vaguely remember one of my best friends, she was like my neighbor and we hung out all the time. We would like weigh ourselves in front of each other in her mom's bathroom, and we were 8 years old. So like really, really young. And I don't really know how and why it started. I just know I've always wanted to be skinnier than I am. And so the eating disorder part started as I got older, like more in my teenage years. I remember, you know, forcing myself to throw up when I was in high school, like maybe sophomore year. And since I can remember, I had a tumultuous relationship with food and my body. My first diet, I think, was around 15 years old. I remember having a trainer, like my parents got me a trainer, and you know, they were very, I don't know if pushy is the right word, but they were very supportive of losing weight and diets for both me and my older sister. Yeah, I mean, it's something that has just always been a part of my life. And up until recently, I thought that it was just something that I had to do and that my body was not okay the way it was. One of the things I remember a lot from when I was little is waiting for my parents to fall asleep so that I could go downstairs and like get a snack and eat food. And so doing all of that like only perpetuated my feelings of this is really bad and this is a secret and I need to hide it. And that's kind of where my binging started. So I would like restrict myself a lot, especially in front of my parents. And then I would wait till I was like either alone or no one was around and just eat a lot. And my go-to was potato chips with hot sauce and or Goldfish and candy.
Potato chips with hot sauce. Yeah, is that a Southern thing or is that a Natalie thing?
It's a Mexican thing.
Oh, okay,
so like in Mexico, like they actually, like if you go to the gas station and you buy a bag of potato chips, there's like a little, like, I don't even know, like a little packet of hot sauce. Okay. And you put it on your chips and you shake the bag and then you eat that. But like that for me was something that I don't know if my parents or myself labeled it as bad. The bag of chips with hot sauce and lime was my favorite thing to eat, but I would hide to eat it. And so that made me feel that it was, you know, really bad. And in those times when I was eating it, kind of hiding, I would eat a lot of it to the point where I would feel really sick, feel really guilty, and then start like the restriction the next day. But that's not something that I acknowledged back then at all. It wasn't until recently and with your help that I discovered that that's what was going on.
Mm. So how long do you think you were in this actual cycle? Like how much time? I know you said 8 is when, you know, you started weighing yourself, maybe not fully knowing what you were doing, but the dieting started at 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, how long were you in sort of this like restrict binge cycle process of dieting, trying to lose weight, believing your body was a problem?
Yeah, I would say 15 years. So I would say when I was 15, when that, like I started with a trainer and he gave me like my diet, that's when it started, because, you know, it was like a bodybuilder diet. So it was very like protein, vegetables, no carbs, like very, very strict. So that's kind of when the binging and restricting started. And that was 15. So I would say 15 years.
Mm-hmm. And was it always something that included bulimia behaviors of purging, or was that sort of a temporary thing only when you were younger? What did it look like for you there?
The bulimia part was like very temporary. I remember maybe like a 6-month period when I was around 16 that I would turn to that.
Yeah. And what was the impact on your life, like having this sort of 15 year sort of fixation on food and weight loss? Like how did that impact your day to day?
Oh my God, so much. It was like literally like living with a demon. Like it just controlled my life. And so much of, you know, my social interactions, my romantic relationships, clothing shopping, going out to restaurants, like it just was always there. I almost kind of see it as like a black cloud of just something that was with me every single day of my life. And not just on the food side, but it really affected me exercise wise as well. So when I look back on all the diets that I did, it always went hand in hand with like over exercising, having a trainer that was really, really intense and just really unhealthy exercise mentality as well that went with it. So yeah. And in those times when I had what I thought back then was quote unquote successful diets, it was really, really unhealthy. You know, I would sometimes, instead of having dinner, like in college, I would like have lunch at noon. And then instead of having dinner, I would just drink a Powerade because I just wanted to wake up and feel even skinnier than I did the day before. And then I would exercise with my trainer in the morning. And then I would get back on the treadmill again at night. So I was like working out twice a day too.
Wow.
So yeah.
So this was definitely periods of extreme restriction, extreme overexercise, like you said, skipping meals, multiple exercising a day. What was happening with your body? Were you fluctuating in weight a lot? Were you staying within the same sort of, you know, 10 to 20 pound range? What was happening there? And then what was that like for your actual body image and your self-esteem?
Yeah. So when I did do those diets, like the one I'm thinking back to in particular was when I was in college. I started with a trainer. My sister and I were living together at the time in California. And we started with a trainer and started working out. We did it all together. And although it was a lot of like restricting and unhealthy habits, I do also have positive feelings on that experience because my sister helped me learn to eat all different types of foods. Like before, I was just so picky, and I'm still really picky, but that's when I really started to learn that I actually liked eating salads, that I actually liked vegetables because of the way she cooked. So I'm really grateful for that. I don't think I would have been able to, in my opinion, have that diet be quote unquote successful without her helping me like with the cooking and everything. But yes, my body changed a lot really fast because it was extreme restriction and extreme like over-exercising. So I remember I lost 20 pounds in 2 months. So that's 10 pounds a month. Mm-hmm. And it was, I was happy. I was really happy, especially with all of the feedback from people. My parents were like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And my friends are like, you look amazing. You look great. You've never looked better. Like all of the positive affirmations was like, oh my God, it was all worth it. All of that turmoil was worth it. And back then I was like, I'm healed. That's what I thought it was telling me, because I was getting all of these positive affirmations. But obviously I learned that that's not sustainable. And the second I stopped over exercising and extreme restriction, I gained all the weight back, of course. So my body has been through a lot with all of these diets that I've forced myself into, thinking that it would, you know, cure me.
What do you mean cure you? You said like you felt healed. What do you mean exactly?
I thought that it was like, I finally like figured it out and I finally am skinny now and I'm not disgusting anymore. Like that's what I thought was success for me back then with my, and I never acknowledged it as disordered eating back then. So I was just like, I lost weight. I can fit into the clothes that I want to fit into. Great. I did it. Mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And I think a lot of people can also relate to the second they stop, the weight comes back on. A couple of people on the podcast have sort of likened it to holding a beach ball underwater. And it's like the tiniest like slip of a finger and the beach ball just shoots right back up out of the water.
Yes.
So after having that initial experience, so also when people go on like their first real, real intense diet, they have a similar experience where like they lose the weight sort of successfully or more easily or really fast. And it progressively gets harder over time. Because mm-hmm. of how the body responds. So I'm just curious of like, you know, when you did gain the weight back, what was the rest of your journey? Like what was the rest of it like for you? And how devastating was it when like the compliments stopped?
Yeah, it was really devastating. And then there was also like, not just societal pressures. And, you know, this is something that I've been very open about with my parents, but, you know, they had a big influence on me in this area. And, you know, they've since apologized and come to understand that that was not okay. But, you know, they were constantly kind of telling me, hey, when are you going to lose weight again? Or you were doing so good. What happened? And, you know, I just want to make them proud. So I was always very, it was an added pressure that I already had it on my own, but, you know, having my parents kind of tell me that too was really, really hard. So when I gained the weight back, you know, the next thing was just kind of like, when am I going to find my next trainer? And when am I going to commit to this again and do it again? So after college, I graduated from Santa Clara in California, and then I moved back. Well, I moved to Charlotte, and then I found a trainer again with my sister. It was something that we kind of did together, which was helpful, but it's also because of the pressure and we have very similar body types. So again, found a trainer that was very, very intense. And he was very into pushing, you know, an unhealthy perspective on body image. I don't think that he acknowledged that, but I remember I had gotten a new car and I was so excited because, you know, I had gotten a promotion at work and it was a perk from my job. And he was like, how are you going to be driving around that car not looking as hot as you can? And I had never thought that before. Like, I was like, yeah, I want to lose weight to feel better and to for myself. But when he put that in my mind, I was like, okay, so I have to believe that. And it was a relationship, like me being super empathic with all of my, haven't just been my trainers. I let them into my life and they become really, really close to me. And this trainer in particular was literally like a brother. And I was like, what, 22, 23 at that time. So I just wanted his approval. And so I think that time in my life, which was about like 3 years that I was training with him, was very detrimental and fueled my disordered eating and unhealthy relationship with the gym so much more. Again, worked with him, lost a lot of weight, completely stopped having social activities, making friends. I was single at the time and I wasn't putting myself out there. Like, all I cared about was the gym and what I was eating. I was so fixated on it. And yeah, again, after gaining all the weight back, I lost weight again. I remember weighing and feeling so accomplished that I had reached my weight from when I was 21 years old, which was when I had, you know, originally lost weight with my first trainer in college. And I was really happy.
And how long did that period sort of last?
So I was 25 when that happened, which is also the year that I met my now husband. And I think it was a blessing in disguise, but I hurt my left knee that year running. You know, I was running almost every single day. I was running like 3 miles almost every single day. And some days I would not only run the 3 miles, but also work out with my trainer. And I hurt my knee. So I really, like, it was bad. I had to go, you know, to the doctor and do physical therapy. And I really had to tone it down on the physical side. And at the same time, I met my now husband, Chris. And so I was happy with him. And I kind of had an awakening of like, it's not all about working out and my diet. Like, there's more to life and I can enjoy life. And that was when I basically fired my trainer. And he was like, I knew this was going to happen because you got a boyfriend now and you're not interested in continuing, you know, your path to looking. So that's kind of when things ended. And of course, what happened? I gained the weight.
Thank you for sharing all of that with us and all of the details and kind of reliving it with us. I appreciate you being so vulnerable with it all. And you're so not alone in your relationship with your parents and your parents being somebody that it put a lot of pressure on you or was really supportive in the weight loss attempts. I think that that's really, really common, especially with millennials who have boomer parents. It's not our parents' fault per se, but that was the messaging and the, you know, the cultural narrative that they grew up with. And so it was sort of just normal to put all of this pressure on your kids to push weight loss. And the same was true in my household. And it's been true with so many of the people that I've worked with over the years. And I would love to maybe, as we kind of work through your healing journey, if you're feeling open to it, sharing about what it was like to have that conversation with your parents. But it sounds like meeting Chris was a little bit of a turning point for you. So you had said something really beautiful. You just realized that there was like more to life. So kind of take us through what that sort of looked like and where, at what point along the journey did you end up finding me and when did we become connected? So sort of take us through sort of this next part of your journey and your story.
Yeah. So when I met Chris, you know, it was for me love at first sight, even though I had reached the point in like my dating journey where I was like, whatever happens, happens. I'm just like trying to have fun and I'm not putting in any pressure. Like it was finally the time where I like had let all the pressure go of myself of finding my person, finding my husband. And of course there he appeared. So yeah, that was the summer of 2015. I was 25. And after that, I mean, those memories that I have looking back on it, I don't think, oh, that's when I lost all my weight back. I think like, that's when I started enjoying my life. And Chris and I, like one of the things that we love doing together is eating really good food and going to nice restaurants, drinking really good wine. And we just had so much fun. We were living in an area in Charlotte and that is just so cool for young professionals, so much to do, walking distance to all of the restaurants and activities and breweries. And I just have such fond memories of that time. And I was still, you know, working out. I was still restricting in my own way, but it wasn't, you know, being led by a trainer or someone who was like, you know, holding me accountable. I kind of was doing that on my own, but it definitely wasn't to the same extent that I was doing with the trainer. We ended up getting a dog together, our baby Winston, and we moved in together. And, you know, really just my number one priority became our relationship. And at the same time, my disordered eating was still very much alive and well. I remember doing Whole 30, not once, but twice, not with the intention of getting healthy and like seeing if I had any allergies, which allegedly is the goal with that, but really with the intention of losing weight, which I did both times. And both times I gained the weight back, like I'm not even kidding, within like 2 weeks. So that just kind of happened. That was like a period of 5 years, 4 or 5 years. The first time I saw your content was the first time that I ever questioned like my entire, like the last 15 years and the mentality that I had had my whole life and society's mentor too. I remember just seeing your posts and I think it was about binging and restricting and the cycle. And I had never really like thought about it in that way. And it made me be like, wait, are there other people out there that do this to themselves like I do? And someone here, a professional, is telling me that there's a way to get out of it and that I shouldn't be this hard on myself. Like, I just remember it was very like, I was like shocked that day when I saw your post. And then I started, you know, following you, listening to your podcast. I remember on my lunch break one day, I went to go order food, which was always a very triggering experience for me, ordering food on my, and I was just enthralled by your podcast and what you were saying. And it was like, it was almost like you had been in my brain and you were explaining why I was going through all of this and that there was like a science behind it. It wasn't just me being a disgusting fat ass. Like it was something that I was subconsciously doing and I wasn't aware of it. And I just immediately was like, you know, I need to talk to her. and that's when I think you had, I don't remember if it was, if you had announced Food Body Soul yet, but you had like a one-on-one like call. I think it was called like a discovery call. And I was like, hell yes. And I signed up for it. And that was, I think I was like 29. Yeah.
I'm getting a little teary-eyed over here listening to you. So thank you. It's special to hear all of this being recounted. So thank you. And I think how you had said that you just didn't realize that one, other people were struggling with this, like, oh, I'm not the only person. And then like, oh, this is actually a thing. So you had said, I think you had said it broke up a little bit. You're like, oh, I'm just not like a disgusting fat ass. Is that what you said?
That is what I said.
Okay, man. yeah. But really getting of like, there isn't, I'm not the only one and there isn't something wrong with me. And this is a thing that people are struggling with. And it's a thing that people can get help with. Like really just kind of having that sort of wake up or that epiphany, I think is also really common because what you experienced over your 15 years is so normalized. I feel like everybody listening likely has experienced this to some degree for themselves and has also experienced it with other people in their lives. It's just like, that's just what we do. We just restrict food and we diet and we overexercise and we lose weight and then we gain the weight back. And then we just like do it all over again. And we're just like, oh, this is just like life. And we're taught to believe that there's something uniquely wrong with us, that you can't keep the weight off or that you can't control yourself around food. Like we're taught that our body's natural reaction to restriction and deprivation is actually a weakness and a reflection of our character when like, that's not what it is at all, but we're taught that there's something wrong with us. And so to be able to realize that like there wasn't something wrong with you, I think I can kind of just relate to that experience in my own way. And yes. Yeah, so tell me like, so you signed up for a discovery call, you were listening to the podcast. We had our discovery call. What was that like for you? You know, reaching out, talking about this. I remember our discovery call pretty distinctly, but I'm just curious of like, what do you remember? And what was that like for you?
I remember I was really nervous / starstruck. Cause I thought, I mean, I was like, she's really cool and she has all these followers and like, I need to be really cool. So I was like really, really excited and also like shocked that I was going to get to talk to you. But it was, I don't know, it just felt right. I don't know how to describe it other than that, like hearing your professionalism and expertise on the topic. And, you know, you were just so like straightforward and matter of fact. I don't know how to say that. Like you were just like, this is what it is. And, you know, you asked me a lot of questions about my experience and you basically told me like, you were like, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to lose weight after this. Cause a part of me was like, maybe I'll magically become skinny when I heal my relationship with food. And I remember you said, I'm not going to promise you that you're going to lose weight. I can't promise you that. But what I will tell you is that your life will change. And I just remember being like, okay, I'm in. I want to do it. The only thing that held me back was I wanted to talk with my boyfriend at the time about it. And after, you know, him and I kind of got on the same page and I told him that I wanted to do this and he was very supportive. I was all in. And I remember exactly where I was when we had our discovery call. I was in my little sister's room at my parents' house here in Charlotte, sitting on the bed. I just felt so much adrenaline and excitement about the possibility of getting better. Mm-hmm. And it was very new for me, the idea of healing that, because I just thought it was something that I was supposed to do, like you said, and that it was always going to be a part of my life.
I remember you asking me that question of like, will I lose weight? And I want to say that like 92% of people get on discovery calls with me and ask that. They ask like, well, will I lose weight when I heal my relationship with food? Like if I start eating normally and if I stop binge eating and I stop eating in secret and I get out of this cycle, will I lose weight? And I think that that's really common, and it is common. It makes absolute sense. I had just, I think, you know, a week ago from recording this, put out a podcast episode about that. And it's literally titled, "But I Still Want to Lose Weight," because I just wanted to speak to it. It's something that comes up so often. And I had said in that podcast that it's not that you don't want to lose weight. It's just that it depends on how done you are with your life revolving around food and weight. And if you're just really done and you've just had enough, then there's a part of you that wants to have this new way of life, this recovered way of life, the freedom and the sanity and the peace around food and your body. You want that just a little bit more, or however much more, but you want it more than you want to have weight loss occur. And that desire for healing is what pulls you forward. And when you say desire for healing, like this was a possibility in your mind, what did that mean for you? Like, what were you envisioning it would entail?
I honestly didn't know. It was so like foreign to me, the thought of like not dealing with this on a daily basis. I thought it was like close to impossible. I guess I didn't really know at the time what that meant for me, because I was so unaware of like how disordered eating played a role in all parts of my life. And so much of that was discovered in the program Food, Body, Soul with you. I think I was just so hopeful, and the idea of not having this turmoil or this black cloud was just really like pulling me in, and something that I couldn't not give it a shot. Like I had to give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you share some of those specifics? So you had said, I wasn't even fully aware of how much disordered eating was playing a role in my day-to-day life. Can you give some specific examples of like what that looked like, so people listening can maybe relate it to their own life? Like what were some of the things that you discovered of like, oh, disordered eating is also impacting me here, here, and here?
Yeah. One of the main ones was if I didn't feel good enough in my body that day, I would like cancel my plans, or I purposely wouldn't make plans because I was like, I'm too overweight and I don't have anything that makes me look skinnier than I am. So on the social side, like that's something that I had been doing for 15 years that I didn't realize. Like I think we talked about it in one of our calls in the group, and it just was like a flood of all these memories of not just social events that I would cancel or choose not to go to in the moment, but also vacations. I would say no to like girls trips or vacations or like a weekend trip with my family, because I was like, I'm too fucking fat. Like, no. So yeah, on the social side and life experiences in general, it held me back so much. Kind of a similar point was, you know, particularly with my parents, it was always something that was in my head. I always assumed that the first thing they looked at or judged when they saw me was my body. So going over to my parents' house was something that was extremely anxiety inducing. And if I couldn't find the right outfit, quote unquote, meaning like hiding my body or making me look smaller, then I would tell them I didn't feel well and not go. It was affecting my relationship with my family as well. Another thing is, I think I mentioned it earlier, but when I would go on my lunch break, oh my God, the like internal conversations I would have about what I was going to eat, what restaurant I was going to go to, food I was going to eat, telling myself, I need to eat quote unquote healthy food to lose weight, and then just having an internal battle. And ultimately, once I decided and got to the food or the restaurant, it was just all ruined because I felt so shitty. It was such a draining experience to have to worry every time I made a food decision.
Yeah. And we eat multiple times a day. So it's just like multiple times a day, I'm having this mental agony.
Yes, exactly. Mental agony. That's how I would describe it.
Mm. Yeah. Always just, I can relate to that, you know, and I think a lot of people listening can as well. Thank you for sharing some of those specifics. And you're not alone. You know, Christy Harrison, who hosts Food Psych, the podcast, calls dieting the life thief because it keeps you from fully participating in and fully living your life. And like you said, you know, having anxiety before going to your family's, canceling plans with them, with friends, vacations, instead of thinking about something else, you know, when you're off of work, you're thinking about food and what to eat and what's healthy and what's the most likely thing to help me lose weight. Like, it just takes so much of your life from you and your life becomes that. So I am wondering if there was sort of anything in particular about Food Body Soul, and you participated in the group coaching program. I now call it Food Body Soul, the Academy, because I've had the membership, I've had the retreat, and I renamed it the Academy to sort of differentiate it. So you participated in that, which is the online group coaching program. Yes. It was 3 months long. It's now 4 months long. Was there something that particularly drew you to that group? Like, what had you, aside from maybe like being hopeful and I just need to give this a shot, was there anything else that had you decide to say yes to it?
Yeah. I mean, I knew 100% that I wanted to work with you. And I remember we were discussing either the one-on-one or doing the group. And my natural instinct is to just do the one-on-one because that's just how I feel comfortable. And, you know, obviously thinking back on like therapy, that's always been one-on-one. And I kind of, you know, thought it would be a similar experience. So my first thought was I want to do it alone. And then as I was making the decision, it just kind of, I don't know if it was my intuition or my gut that was like, you need to do this as a group. Like, and I just had a feeling that it was going to be so much more beneficial for me personally, to meet other people who are going through something similar. And I was right. yeah. So I think that was the best decision for me. And again, similar to my idea of healing, I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I just, again, felt really excited about the group aspect. And more than anything, I wanted to hear from other people and also meet new people. And it was absolutely life-changing. And those girls, I mean, they're not my friends, they're my sisters.
Yeah, I'm getting a little teary-eyed. I need a moment. Tell me about the experience in the group and meeting these women and talking to other people about this. I do think that the fear, there's sometimes trepidation and fear of being in a group and not just being alone one-on-one. Yes. And so can you share a little bit more about like, what was it like to actually meet these women, to hear their stories, to have them hear your stories? What was that experience like for you?
It was like the most beautiful time in my life. Mm. I mean, just hearing all of their stories. And I think probably the most important thing is how beautiful they all were to me the first time I met them. Despite, like, I mean, we're all so different. Like, it was never about their bodies or what they looked like they just were so beautiful inside and out. And I remember being like, is that how people see me? Like, and it really made me realize like the all of the negative talk and the horrible things that I would say to myself, it was like gut-wrenching to think that they were doing that to themselves too. So that group experience just not only introduced me to some of the most wonderful people in the world, but it also showed me so much about myself. And I was just in awe of all of these amazing women, and their stories helped me so much. And really the conversations that we had, and you know, the teachings from you, Kara, like you were our teacher and our leader and guiding us through it all. Like it was just such a bonding experience that I've never had with anyone else in my life. All I can say that is that it was life-changing, and that I am so, so grateful for that opportunity and the space that you created for us to be able to not only meet, but learn from you and ultimately change our lives together. Like that's the thing. We changed our lives together. We didn't do it alone. And we will always have each other for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think the piece that you had mentioned is something that I can deeply relate to, having done group programs and done women's retreats. It's like when you see the vulnerability and the humanness in somebody else, and yes, you are able to like look past this physical facade that we're taught to really focus on so much, it makes you see yourself the way that you see them. Like that experience in and of itself is so healing. It's such a mirror. And like you said, like thinking that, oh my gosh, do these women who I love, who I think are incredible, talk to themselves the way I talk to myself? Oh my God. You know?
Yeah.
Like I just, yeah, I think that's the power of groups, you know, and it's why I'm so excited to, you know, be doing the Academy again, because it's such a unique, special healing experience. And so in what ways did it change your life?
Oh my gosh. In a lot of ways. You know, I will be honest and say that I still struggle, but nowhere near the way I was struggling before. I'm so much more aware of my internal conversation with myself, and you know, I'm able to catch myself and stop it, like stop myself from spiraling and going that path, thanks to Food, Body, Soul. And, you know, one of the biggest things that came from it, I think, was me preparing for my wedding. I believe that I was meant to be a part of the program at that time so that I could marry my husband in my natural body. You know, the wedding for me was always I always made it like the ultimate reason to achieve my perfect body. So over the last, I mean, I would even say 20 years, it was always like, even if I don't lose the weight up until X year, the moment I get engaged, that's when it's all going to change. And on my wedding day, I'm going to be a size 2 or 4, and I am going to be so happy and like live happily ever after. I'm so grateful that I didn't go down that path and torture myself yet again. So, you know, the program helped me accept myself and also know that it's okay to accept myself. And it helped me open my eyes to how fucked up the world is, and diet culture and societal pressures and Photoshop and all that shit that's not real. Because I mean, now that you like in today's world with social media, like there's like little, like my little cousin, she's what, 14, 15. She's seeing all this. How is she not going to be feel pressured? And, you know, you think that that's how you're supposed to live your life, like you said. And because of my experience with food, body, soul, I was able to let that go and acknowledge that I am beautiful the way I am. I don't give a shit what society tells me or what anybody else tells me for that matter. You know, one of the things that I had to do that was very healing that I chose to do was write a goodbye letter to the vision I always had of me on my wedding day.
Yeah. I remember one of our coaching calls, and if you don't want me to keep this on the podcast, I can definitely take it out. So let me know. But I remember on one of our coaching calls inside Food, Body, Soul with the group, we were talking about this dream, this fantasy, this, this vision that you had for yourself that you would be thin on your wedding day. And I remember you saying this, at least this is what I think I remember you saying, so correct me if I'm wrong, that you were like, as soon as I get engaged, I'm going to eat nothing but asparagus. And I know that my wedding is finally going to be the thing that gives me the willpower and the control that I need to lose the weight. And on that call, while you were sharing that, also really coming to terms with the fact that that wasn't going to be your future, and in part by choice, because you were choosing to work on body acceptance. You were in that group working on it, but like really mourning this vision that you had held so dear for so long, and writing that letter of letting it go is such an important part of the process. Like there is such a grieving that happens of just really letting go of the thin dream.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I definitely said that about asparagus. And I like, we laugh about it, but I meant it. Like I genuinely was like, I'm only going to eat asparagus. And like, I'm only going to eat green things. Like it's all done. It's going to be, and I, in my mind, I like rationalized it as okay and good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean that the goodbye letter, I actually stumbled upon it this week because I was journaling, and it's in the front of my journal. And I reread it, and I was just like so grateful and so like proud of how far I've come. And you know, one of the things, Kara, that you brought up to me on one of those calls, it might have been that same call, was you were like, has Chris ever told you that he doesn't like the way you look or that you should lose weight? And I was like, I had never like asked myself that question. And I was like, no, he hasn't. And he actually proposed to me at like my highest weight that I had ever been in my life. And it was very like eye-opening to my ignorance on that topic, I guess. And also it made me realize how like selfish it was for me to be going through this and forcing myself to just hate my body for me. When my now husband loved me the way I was and never put any conditions on it about me changing my body or any expectations at all. That was very eye-opening for me and was instrumental too in healing that part of me and the vision that I had for my wedding basically my whole life. And I got married and I had the most incredible day of my life. And the last thing that was on my mind that day was my body. And I owe that to all the work that I did and all of the help and support that I got working with you and with my sisters in Food, Body, Soul.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And your wedding was amazing. I felt so honored and special to be invited and to get to go and to be a part of that, given sort of the intimacy and behind the scenes that I got to see about the impact or the influence that that day was having, you know, on your relationship with food and your body. And to really get that, like, Chris, your husband, proposed to you in the body that you're in, and that you weren't thinking about your body size on your wedding day, is just, that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about that. So is there anything else that you want to share about your body image and your wedding, or for women who are maybe in a similar position or who have felt so much pressure to lose weight for their wedding? Is there anything you would want to share, having gone through all of that? Maybe words of wisdom or advice or something that you learned?
Yeah. Simply put, there is hope. And if any of this resonated with you today, please, please, please reach out to Kara. Find out more about, you know, her services, her programs. I had, even today, like, Kara, I owe her so much, and the program so much. The retreat that we had together changed my life as well. There is hope that you can get better and heal your relationship with food. If you're tired of eating your body, if you're tired of going on diets, I'm here to tell you that there is hope and that there is a way out of it. It will take a lot of work, but it is a lot of work. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But in my opinion, making that a number one priority, that being healing my relationship with food and my body, was instrumental in me being where I am today. And I've never been happier in my life.
And it wasn't a result of becoming a size 2 or 4. Did you ever think you'd say that? You'd be in this place of, like, I'm the happiest I've been. And wow, I'm not this thinner version of myself I thought I needed to be to get there.
I never thought that. I thought that I would be the happiest in my life when I achieved being in a smaller body, but fuck that shit. Running. And I didn't need that to be happy.
Yeah. There's the truth in that for sure. You know? Yeah. Thank you for all of that. And, you know, I'm so happy and grateful that Food Body Soul, the group program, the retreat, everything that you learned, and you deserve to be acknowledged because you showed up and did the hard work. There's really only so much I can do on my end. You chose the work for yourself and you showed up for yourself. And so you have yourself to thank for where you're at today. It goes back to sort of the willingness, and you were willing to be with that discomfort and that nervousness and that anxiety and that fear. And you were willing to feel all of that internal intensity and still trust that this was an important step for you in your healing journey. And it's a huge part of the reason why you are where you are. And I'm just really proud of you for doing that, because it takes a lot of courage to do something like that, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Kara. Yeah, it was not easy, but the idea of healing and the hope that I had for healing was so much greater than the anxiety and the fear. Like, I was just like, I'll do whatever it takes at this point. Like, I'm done living my life like this. And it was just like a stepping stone in that journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can very much relate to that. Yep. Very much relate of just the hope and the desire for healing is greater than my fear of the pain that it's going to take to get to that place. And that pulls you forward. You know, that becomes your North Star, you know, for sure.
Exactly.
So Natalie, it's been so special and such a treat to get to chat with you. And I'm really grateful that you are willing to come onto the podcast and share your story and talk about your experience healing and going through Food Body Soul and meeting the other women. The bond that you guys have is pretty incredible. You know, we're still, I don't know, 2 years later on a group text, checking in with each other. I definitely feel like we have a unique bond and sisterhood because of that experience. And it's just really, really special. And also sometimes I have to pinch myself because it's so weird, like what Instagram can do and social media can do.
Yes.
But it's been so, so great to chat with you. I want to know if one, there's anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up. And my last question, in addition to that, is what are you most excited about in life right now and for 2022?
Yeah. Well, first of all, no, thank you for having me on the podcast. This is like the highlight of my year so far. I know it's only
day four,
but I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And I think I shared this with you before we started. If other women who are going through something similar, like I, even though it's not easy, like I, if I can do that, I am more than happy to share my story. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity and for everything that you do. And yeah, just for food, body, soul, and how it really changed my life. So on the contrary, thank you so much. And as far as what I'm most excited about, I think a few things, but I'd say primarily my marriage and continuing that as my number one priority in my life. My husband is my best friend and the most amazing man. And there's so many exciting things that we have coming up this year as husband and wife. So that's very exciting for me. Starting a new family, hopefully. and also, you know, making memories with my family, my sisters who are my best friends, and my parents. Just the simple things in life. hanging out with my dog. You know, my husband and I are both homebodies. We like to be home a lot. There's a lot of house projects we want to do. So that's something that we really want to focus on in 2022 now that our wedding has come and gone. And then lastly, I hadn't really touched on this in our conversation yet, but one of the things that I discovered on our Food, Body, Soul retreat was my true calling in life. And that is to help other people with my empathic abilities. And so that's something that is a huge focus for me in 2022 is potentially starting a new business there. I think that there's an opportunity in Charlotte. We're nowhere near LA where this work is, you know, usual and common. And so, you know, I've started a few meditation circles. Like I host those, I lead people through those circles. And I also do intuitive readings for people. And that's something that I have found is my passion. And I want to continue pursuing that. So I'm really excited about that on top of being president of my family's media company. I have been president for 2 years now, and it's also something I'm very passionate about and very excited about this year. I feel kind of reinvigorated in my job. So it's really, really, I just have like such a good 2022, and yeah, I can't wait to see what this year brings.
Mm. I know that you have another work call in 10 minutes, but would you want to take maybe a few minutes and actually share about the retreat? We did not talk about the retreat very much at all. And I have a retreat coming up literally next week, another Food, Body, Soul, the retreat. You want to maybe share a couple of minutes about what that was like for you?
Yeah, I would love to. It would help me if you asked me like a question.
Mm, sure. So this was your first retreat, right? The first women's retreat you ever came to?
Yep.
Yep. So can you remember like how you felt or what you thought it was going to be like going into it versus what it was actually like living through it and being on the other side?
Yes. So I remember going into the retreat, like I I didn't know what to expect. I just thought it was going to like our group coaching calls, but more in person. And I remember walking in, I was the first one there as per usual, because I'm always early. And I was just like, whoa, this place is beautiful. Like the house was so cool. And it just had this like beautiful, airy, relaxing feeling. And I'm not from LA. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. So those hills are just, it looks fake. So I just remember I had a really good, like, it was a good omen as I walked in. And then I remember you guys were like, oh, you get ready. And then we'll meet back here in like 30 minutes. And I came back out and there was like, you know, a bunch of like stuff that in my opinion, I wasn't comfortable with. Like, I don't know, there was like incense and like a colorful rug and there was like pillows on the ground. And I was like, what is this? I was like, what is about to happen? I was like nervous, scared, but also very open at the same time. And now if you come over to my house, you'll see that shit everywhere. it became a part of me. I like call myself a hippie now and I love it. But it just, the retreat was nothing at all of what I expected. It was so intimate and challenging. But I think it helped so much that we had known each other so well virtually over the few months. So even though we had never met in person, like we were all so comfortable with each other and like had already been so vulnerable with each other, that those challenging moments that were very like personal felt a little easier because we knew our sisters so well, like we were close at that point. But you know, the meditations that we did, the reflections and the internal work that went on that weekend really transformed me. Like I see it as a rebirth for me. And I also personally discovered how, I guess, powerful I am in my empathic abilities. And that was really, really cool. And I even had a moment of, this is what I'm supposed to do in my life. Mm-hmm. I just felt like a calling to help other people. And yeah, I mean, I would say the most special thing about the retreat was the vulnerability of all of my friends, my sisters in our group, and them just being so willing to open up and continue that part of their journey with all of us there was really, really, really cool and something I'm really grateful for. And it was also really hard. I remember the mirror activity that we did where, maybe I won't give it away, but, that was like one of the most difficult, 2 minutes of my life. Yeah. And I wouldn't have been able to do that with anyone else. And the space that you created, like, I'm so lucky that I was a part of the first retreat and the first Food Body Soul program. Like, I don't know how you knew to do it that way, but it just worked out so beautifully. And no, it wasn't perfect, but nothing in life is. And that's what I think was so special. And yeah, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to push myself and come out of my comfort zone and also see other people do that. Like what we did on that retreat was not easy, but because of that, my life changed dramatically. And it's an experience that I will never, ever, ever forget. I was like really, really devastated when it ended. I just felt so attached to everyone. And I was like, how am I going to like go back to Charlotte, North Carolina and not be with these people? Like it was just it was really just the most wonderful weekend and experience, and so like so much attention to myself. Like I felt like I gave myself a gift that weekend, and that's all thanks to your vision, Kara, and all the girls in our group. Like I know we were all meant to be there together, and it's just something that is so crucial to my journey. And I'm so jealous in a good way of the next group that gets to experience that, because it's really, I mean, it was the best time of my life.
Yeah. Thank you for all of that. And I am so excited that it's supported you in, like you said, getting connected to your gifts, your empathic abilities, your intuitive abilities, and that you had that feeling of this is what I'm meant to do. I think that is such a special thing for us to experience, and to think that, you know, Food, Body, Soul and the retreat played a role in you getting connected to that part of yourself is really, really cool and really special. And I remember your and a couple of the other girls' reactions to sort of like the space and those things that you were talking about. And you're not alone. I had a very similar experience when I went to my first women's retreat. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Ew.
Yeah. I remember I was like, what's Palo Santo? Like, I don't know what that is. And now like I literally Palo Santo my house every day. So it just, it's really funny to look back on that. And now it's like a daily practice in my life. And yeah, but it was just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys were my first retreat, so you'll always be super special for sure. I love you so much, Natalie. Thank you for everything. Thank you for taking a couple of extra minutes here to talk about the retreat. I really appreciate that. I love you. Thank you for sharing your story.
I love you too. No, thank you. Thank you for everything, and just like continue what you're doing, because I know I told you on my wedding day, like you're really changing people's lives, and you are so, so humble, but I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. You changed my life, and thank you for everything.
Yeah, such a gift for me to hear that. And yeah, it's such a treat for me to get to be a part of your life in that way. I don't take it for granted or take it lightly that somehow this is what I do for a living. How cool is that, you know? So
it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And I'm excited for your new business and all that you're bringing to Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thank you, mamas.
Thank you so much for listening to the Love Your Bod Pod today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Natalie as much as I enjoyed getting to have it with her. Again, if you are interested in learning more about FBS The Academy, go to foodbodysoul.co or shoot me a DM on Instagram. We can hop on a complimentary discovery call to see if it's a great fit. Again, we start March 14th and spots are limited, so do not wait to take action on this. What do you have to lose by signing up for a free call? Absolutely nothing. And it could just be the thing that changes your life and makes 2022 one of the most happy, incredible, healed years of your life. All right, loves. I love you. Thank you for listening to the Potty Pod, and we'll talk soon.